Turn your Bibles with me this morning to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We are continuing our study through the book of Colossians. We're going to start reading in verse 24 of Colossians chapter 1. It says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, and the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. This morning, I'd like to talk to you about making a difference. Here we see the Apostle Paul expressing himself in an unusual way. He says he has accepted hardships joyfully. He has accepted hardships joyfully. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't tend to accept hardship joyfully. My first reaction to hardship is usually anger. That's my first reaction to hardship. This week, our microwave was broken. Christy said, Bill, the microwave won't shut off. And of course, the first thing I do is say, oh, what'd you do to break the microwave, right? Spurred out in anger, blame my wife for breaking the microwave. Of course, it wasn't her fault. And so the door, even when it was off and closed, if you shut the door on the microwave, the magnetron would kick on, and it would not come off. So I'm like, I'm banging it once, banging it twice, won't come off, and then freezer, bang, trying to get the thing to stop, you know? And I'm getting angry because the microwave won't turn off. Finally, I unplugged the thing, and I ended up having to replace the microwave this week. So, but you know what? Hey, hardships come, and we usually react in a way that's not joyful, right? But the Apostle Paul's saying here, he looks at afflictions and hardships with joy. How in the world is he able to do that? Certainly, that's not the normal way we react to hardships. However, I would like to get to this point, though. I would like to get to the point where when hardships come, I can react to them with joy. Now, the reason I believe Paul was able to do this is found in verse 24. Look at verse 24 again. It says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill it up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Paul believed that as he endured hardships in his life, he was making a difference in the lives of the people and the church. He really believed that as he endured hardships, he was making a real difference in the lives of people and the body of Christ. Paul was able to make the connection of hardships with joy because he saw the positive impact he had on people and the church as he endured hardships. He made that connection. And in the Bible, we see that connection many times. In the book of James, it says to count it all joy when you suffer various trials, right? We know that God has connected hardship and joy. Now, that is not something that is a normal connection. But with God, some things aren't normal. And we can see that he is working in an unusual way in the Apostle Paul's life, and he will work in an unusual way in your life as well, so that when hardships come, you will be able to accept them with joy. Now, If you know with every hardship that you endure, you can truly make a difference for the good of others and the church, then you can accept hardship with joy. Therefore, knowing we are making a difference in the lives of people and the church is the key to accepting hardships with joy. So, how do we make a difference? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us here how he made a difference, and I believe if we do the same, we can make a difference and accept hardships joyfully. So, let's take a look at this passage and see how we can make a difference and accept hardships joyfully. Verse 25 says this, "Of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." Now, you can make a difference and accept hardship joyfully when you answer God's call for your life. When you answer God's call for your life. Paul recognized that God had called him to do what he was doing in the church and in his life. Now, not all are called to be missionaries or pastors like the Apostle Paul, but God calls every believer to minister in some way in the church. As a believer in Jesus, one of the questions we should be asking God is, "Lord, what would you have me to do so I can be used by you to make a difference in the church?" Now, I love our church for many reasons, but one of the reasons I love our church is because our people have this attitude. You folks, I know I'm preaching this to you, but I feel like this is one of the things you don't need much preaching about. But it is good for us to remember. I love it when our folks say, "Lord, what can I do to make a difference in the church, in the lives of the people in the church? What can I do?" Danny, last week, sent an email saying, "I'd like to call people and encourage them. Would that be okay?" That's a pastor's dream come true. For people to be saying, "Hey, I want to encourage people. I want to make a difference in other people's lives. Can I do this?" I was like, "Praise the Lord, yes, do it." With my slow typing I'm going on, I don't email much, but when someone does that, I put the email down there, and I hunt and peck. I was so thankful, and that was an encouragement to me. Others have done the same. Lucas and Milena, they just started coming to our church in July, and Lucas just jumped right in playing music, and he does a wonderful job with it, and I'm so thankful. Milena has taken on doing the fellowship coordinator job, and she's well qualified for that. She's wonderfully organized, and she can cook really good, amen? So, hey, we see that attitude prevailing in our church. It's something that we need to continue to do. You know, when you see that you're making a difference in the lives of others because you're doing what God has called you to do, you can endure hardships with joy. It makes it endurable, amen? It really does. When you see you're making a difference, when your life is making a difference for people and God's church, it can help. It can help you endure hardships with joy. And so let's remember that. When you answer God's call on your life and start using your talents for the good of people and the church, you will be able to accept hardships joyfully, knowing that doing so will have a positive impact on others. Now, God has given every one of us abilities and talents that He wants us to use to make a difference in the lives of people in the church. Now, look at verses 26 and 27. It says, "The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of His glory, of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now, you can make a difference and accept hardships joyfully when you tell others about Jesus. Now, the mystery that was hid from past generations was that Jesus is the Savior. Paul saw he was making a difference in people's lives as he told them about Jesus and the glory that awaits all who trust in him. We have a wonderful message to tell people. Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins, and that if they will trust in him and ask for forgiveness of their sins, they will have eternal life. Riches in glory. That is a wonderful message. And when we tell others about that message, we really do make a difference in their lives. You can make a difference in the lives of others when you tell them about Jesus. Edward Kimball, a shoe store assistant and a Sunday school teacher in Chicago, spent hours of his free time visiting the young street urchins in Chicago's inner city, trying to win them for Christ. Through him, a young boy named D.L. Moody got saved in 1858. Moody grew up to be a preacher. In 1879, Moody won F.B. Meyer to the Lord. Meyer became a preacher and won J.W. Chapman to Christ. Chapman became a preacher and brought the message of Christ to a baseball player named Billy Sunday. Sunday held a revival in Charlotte, North Carolina, which was so successful that evangelist Mordecai Ham was invited to Charlotte to preach. Under Ham's preaching, a teenager named Billy Graham gave his life to Jesus. It all started with winning one child to Jesus. You see how much of a difference you can make in the lives of people when you just tell someone about Jesus? It's a wonderful privilege that we have. And we can gain so much encouragement and joy from telling others about Jesus. And when the hardships come, we can endure them with joy because we know we're making a difference in the lives of others. I want you to notice verse 28. Before we do that, I want you to also notice that the joy came in telling others about Jesus, not necessarily in seeing the results. We may not see all the results, but the joy comes in telling, because we know telling others about Jesus does make a difference. When you know you're working, when you're making a difference in others' lives by telling them about Jesus, you will be able to accept hardships joyfully. Verse 28 says this: Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, you can make a difference and accept hardships joyfully when you disciple other believers. When you disciple other believers. Paul saw that he could make a difference by helping others grow in their faith in the Lord. He did this by imparting wisdom to the people and helping them be all they can be for the Lord. This doesn't mean you have to be teaching a 12-week discipleship class to people in order to make a difference in their lives. Understand that. You don't have to be going through discipleship classes with people in order to disciple them and make a difference in their lives. But what you need to be involved in is imparting wisdom, encourage, and motivate people to live for the Lord in some way. Maybe it's in a small way. Whatever way it is, we need to do it. Young men in his church were expected to pray aloud in communion services. So the young Larry Crabb felt pressured to pray, even though he had a problem with stuttering. He remembers offering a terribly confused prayer in which he thanked the Father for hanging on the cross and praised Christ for triumphantly bringing the Spirit from the grave. When he was finished, he vowed he would never pray out loud in front of a group. At the end of the service, Crabb made for the door. Before he could get out, an older man caught him. "Larry, there's one thing I want you to know," the man said. "Whatever you do for the Lord, I'm behind you 1,000%. Even as I write these words," this is Larry writing these, "my eyes fill with tears," says Crabb, who since became a best-selling book author, psychologist, and speaker. Those words were life words. Those words were life words. They had power. They reached deep into my being. When you seek to disciple others, to encourage them, to motivate them, to help them in their walk with the Lord, you will make a difference. Understand that. You will make a difference just by making a phone call. Calling somebody up and saying, "We're praying for you, we love you, how you doing?" That's all it takes sometimes. Hey, a little bit of advice maybe. "Hey, I know what you're going through. I've been there, and I see what you're going through. I'm praying for you. Keep plugging. Keep plugging." Those kind of words really do make a difference in people's lives. Paul recognized that. He realized that if he encouraged others, if he exhorted others, he could really make a difference in their lives. Ask God to give you opportunities to exhort others, and he will. As you exhort others, you will see you're making a difference, and it will help you to accept hardships joyfully. Now, I want you to notice verse 29. How can we get the strength to do something as unusual as accepting hardships joyfully? How do we gain the strength to do that? You know, we saw how Paul made a difference, but how do we get the strength to make that difference? And how do we get the strength to have this attitude of joy when hardships come? It doesn't have to come from you. As a matter of fact, it can't come from you. It won't come from you. I want you to see where it comes from. Look at verse 29. It says, "To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily." You see, Paul saw that his strength was coming from the Lord. Paul's strength to answer God's call on his life, to tell others about Jesus and disciple others, came from the Lord. With God's power, you can make a difference. With God's power, you can make a difference. And I know some of you are struggling and you have serious hardships in your life. But I want you to know that our God is powerful enough to help you make a difference and accept those hardships with joy. Before J. Oswald Sanders was 50, he had arthritis so bad that he could hardly get out of bed. He could have taken a nice retirement. Instead, he entered the most productive years of his life. At age 50, he left a prosperous career as an attorney in New Zealand to lead the China Inland Mission, now Overseas Missionary Fellowship. After several years of leading the mission, he retired, only to take on the directorship of a Christian college. Then he retired again. As a two-time widower, he certainly deserved a rest, but rather than taking the easy, he accelerated, spending his last 20 years speaking around the world more than 300 times per year. His respect grew even though he had never sought the limelight or tried to maintain his position. He was almost 90 and working on a book when he died. God gives the strength. We look at our bodies, we look at how frail we are, we look at how frail we are spiritually, and we say we can't do it. That's good. That's the first step. Now we need God's power. We need to ask God for His strength so that He can work mightily in us and through us so that we can make a difference and accept hardships with joy.